Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Acerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Torino Festival, Torino Film Festival 35th edition. I'm here with Michael Pierce, director of Beast in Competition. Good morning. Your film is stunningly beautiful to watch in terms of photography, actually. And it's a story about this girl called Molly, which is 27 years old. She still lives with her parents, and she has a disturbed past that we don't know that much about, and a very strict family. And this is like a prison where that she tried to escape from. You wrote the film too. What brought you to tell us this story?
Well, it was loosely based on a true story that happened in Jersey. There was a guy called the Beast of Jersey, mm-hmm. who was a sort of sexual predator, and he terrorized the island for 10 years. And this was during the 1960s, but even when I was growing up in the 80s, he was still a kind of specter that haunted the island. And I just had these very, I had these distinct impressions of the island being somewhere that was very safe, which it was. And it had this great landscape, and I felt very free as a child. But it had also been, it had been the epicenter of danger. You had these crimes that were being perpetuated that were out of a horror film. And so I was really interested in using Jersey as this kind of mythical, almost fairy tale-like backdrop. Mm. To a sort of crime film and a coming of age film. So they were like the initial inspirations. But Jersey is a great place to be as a kid, but also somewhere that was suffocating, mm-hmm. and somewhere that was very beautiful, but also could be somewhere quite dangerous. And I liked all of these.
Yeah, actually, you give us this feeling, because she lives in this community that is really small and really strict and really controlling over everybody. And she's suffering from that. The character of Molly is really intense, because she is the center of this psychological drama, which is also a thriller. So you have two genres together in the same. How did you manage the balance between a drama, a psychological drama, and a thriller? Because there is a thriller part out of it, because, you know, the killings and...
I kind of see, for me, genre is a very seductive instrument I can use through which to tell the story, but ultimately I'm not interested in genre in itself. You know, for me, it's a psychological portrait of a troubled young woman. And I'm using genre as a kind of a Trojan horse to smuggle in the themes that I'm really interested in. So if you go scene by scene through the film, most of it is a psychological drama.
Yeah, absolutely.
A very intense one. And occasionally through the language, through the music, through sound design, through the way that we might shoot a scene, we just try and heighten that. So I actually think it's an intense drama masquerading as a genre film.
You're using genre as a tool to...
Totally.
To tell your story in the best way possible. You were telling about sound design. The sound design is really important in your film. I mean, this is what I got from it. Can we say that you use it as an additional, let's say, character in the film in order to underline specific areas, specific scenes, or specific feelings that you want to convey to the audience? How did you work on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really drawn to cinema that is intensely subjective in terms of rooting the audience in the subjective viewpoint of the character. And so that relates to how we shoot it and how the sound design, it felt necessary to be very visceral, very experiential, and very subjective. So it's actually not realist. It's heightened in some ways, it's reduced in other ways, depending on what the character is feeling. Because we, of course, don't hear sound in its totality moment by moment. We filter it in through our subjective.
Exactly, yeah.
In the same way, you know, that we see things. So we were always trying to root the sound in what Moll was emotionally experiencing at the time, mm-hmm. not what was objectively making a sound at that time. And mm-hmm. it was the same for music. Traditionally, in a genre film, you would use music to create suspense. You know, you would know something before the character knows it. But for us, it was important that the music was coming from the emotional world of the character. I was saying to the composer, it should the score should come from the guts of Mole. You know, that's where it's really emanating from. It's coming out from the skin of the character, not from the filmmaker's point of view, which is one step ahead of the character, but from inside her. Mm-hmm. So every part of the language, we were just constantly thinking about what is she feeling at this time, and how can we use these different elements to express that.
And how did you work with the actress playing Molly? Because she has the whole film on her shoulders, and it's a heavy burden to, you know.
It was a really long casting process. We saw a lot of people come in for the role, and it was very humbling as a director because I saw some great actresses. But there was something very unique about Jessie where she was very relatable, and she's very you can create a strong empathy with her almost immediately. But she's also got that kind of that mixture of vulnerability and ferocity, and it was quite hard to find that. There was sometimes actors would come in and they could do one of those things, and Jessie's extremely alive to the moment and a very sensitive person.
And she has a great voice, actually. That helps a lot.
Yes, yeah. But she also has this very elemental quality, and so she could do that intensity. And she's a very brave and committed performer. The beginning of every scene, from the first take, she went from 0 to 100 immediately. And she was so invested in the role, it meant that everyone else had to kind of up their game, you know, from the cast, but also the crew, because everyone saw how invested she was.
How long did it take you to shoot it?
5 weeks.
Wow.
So it felt like...
Did you prepare a lot beforehand?
Yeah, we did a lot of prep, but it was a hard shoot because we were trying to be very ambitious for the budget that we had. Mm-hmm. And your ambition is here and your resources are here, and that discrepancy becomes very painful on a day-to-day basis. So you're constantly trying to, you're having to rethink your plan because you can't. Mm-hmm. You can't always execute the elaborate plan that you had, but you also don't want to compromise in its effect. So it's often trying to think of more economic ways to do the same thing.
Well, you made it actually, because the quality-wise, the movie looks rich, really rich, even if it wasn't probably that much.
Cool.
At least.
Yeah, thank you.
Listen, Michael, which were your inspiration when you were writing and directing the film? Did you have, or if you have any? Any references?
Yeah, there was quite a few films from Hitchcock and Chabrol that were like female-centered psychological thrillers. Mm-hmm. La Boucher by Chabrol is obviously a big reference in the story. You know, or Shadow of a Doubt by Hitchcock, or Marnie. And then more recently, I was actually drawn to a lot of sort of first or second-time filmmakers. There was a few from Australia that I really liked when I saw Animal Kingdom and Snowtown, and
because they use the ambience and the surroundings the same way you did.
Yeah, they play with genre, but really they're intensely interested in their characters, and from the States as well, Place Beyond the Pines and Martha Marcy May Marlene. Mm-hmm. I like the way that these directors were able to create slightly mythical worlds. It was slightly separate from reality. But they were very
still real.
Still real, and they're very interested in what's going inside the heart of their characters. And pretend, playing with, genre language sometimes. And then, I think I really, Jacques Audiard is probably the best reference of a director that's able to get you to empathize with their characters and be able to root you very firmly in the skin of his characters. Mm-hmm. Before I make something, I often watch his films just to try and figure out how he does that.
And I mean, your film has a terrific start. Instead, I mean, I was watching in 20 minutes, tons of stuff is happening. I mean, much more than usual. So it's really filled with action, not in terms of action movies, but in terms of developments of the plot one after the other. Is this going to be your way of writing for every single movie, or do you think that it applied specifically to this story?
Yeah, I think I've got, in some ways, very art house tastes as an audience member, but sometimes I'm frustrated with the modesty of art house cinema. Mm-hmm. There's something where I feel like I like it when a film is narratively ambitious in what it's trying to pack in, you know. Look, the first film, the reason I wanted to become a filmmaker was because of that period in the 70s when, you know, you had in America the, you know, people like Scorsese and Coppola and Sidney Lumet and Polanski, and these were films that were very ambitious in their scale and their scope, and they were using genre, but fundamentally they were interested in the characters, you know. If you go back now and watch Rosemary's Baby or Chinatown or The Conversation, these are character driven films. So I think, you know, that it's not mutually exclusive to have that that interest in the psychology of the characters and being, you know, wanting to paint that on a big canvas. So ideally I want to continue to go down that track and continue that investigation and broaden the canvas even more.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for your film. Thanks a lot for being with us. Michael Pierce, director of Beast, in competition at the Torino Film Festival 35th edition. I mean, my name is Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.